1, verses 1 through 4, and 11 and 12. From Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the people of the church in Thessalonica, who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Our friends, we must thank God at all times for you. It is right for us to do so because your faith is growing so much and the love each of you has for the other is becoming greater. That is why we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God. We boast about the way you continue to endure and believe through all the persecutions and sufferings you are experiencing. That is why we always pray for you. We ask our God to make you worthy of the life he has called you to live. May he fulfill by his power all your desire for goodness and complete your work of faith. In this way, the name of our Lord Jesus will receive glory from you and you from him by the grace of our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And from Luke 19, Jesus went on into Jericho and was passing through. There was a chief tax collector there named Zacchaeus, who was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was a little man and could not see Jesus because of the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, who was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay in your house today." Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him with great joy. All the people who saw it started grumbling. "This man has gone as a guest to the home of a sinner." Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Listen, sir, I will give half of my belongings to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house today, for this man also is a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
It's good to see you here. Thank you for your faithfulness. Welcome to the Cunninghams from Champaign, Illinois. Thank you for being here today. It's good to have each of you here. Pray with me. Heavenly God, in Jesus' name, as we conclude our service today, I pray, O God, that the indelible presence of the Holy Spirit will not only be here, but that we'll know it, we'll sense it, we'll celebrate it. And I pray that somehow, O God, you'll take regular old words from a regular old person and make something holy come of them because you are in them. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to ask you, did Jesus have bad manners, you would instantly respond, "Well, of course not. He's Jesus, for crying out loud." Maybe not so fast. Jesus did not wait for an invitation. He sought out people. He especially sought out hiding people like Zacchaeus. Jesus summons Zacchaeus to come down from the tree, and then Jesus commits that social faux pas. He says, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for dinner tonight." Now, I'll bet I'm not the only parent in this room who remembers a time when your children came up to the house, right around dinner time. And they said, "Mom, Dad, can Timmy come and eat supper with us tonight?" And there stands Timmy with them. What are you supposed to do? Kick poor starving Timmy out into the street? I suspect you did what we did most of the time. You made another place, and somehow there was always enough. Isn't it interesting how hospitable children are naturally? They seem inborn with hospitality. They just love inviting their friends over to play. They never hesitate to bring home a hurt bird or a broken-legged granddaddy long legs. So what do we as parents do with our conditioning to that natural-born hospitality within our children? Well, we drill into them that from now on, without Timmy or anyone else present, if you want someone to come and eat with you, you come to us first and you ask us. And by the way, we are not a rescue mission for hurt animals. Now, I understand some of the rules that we put on our children are there to protect them. But as I look back, I suspect most of the rules we have placed on our children are there to protect us, their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. We have worked so hard to take their inborn gift of hospitality and corral it the way it was corralled in each of us in this room. Yes, we used to be more hospitable too. There was a time when we were the ones doing the asking. We owe the gospel writer Luke a great debt of gratitude, for it is only in the gospel of Luke that the story of Zacchaeus emerges. It's not in Matthew, it's not in Mark, it's not in John, but it's dead set in Luke. Perhaps more than any other gospel story, the story of Zacchaeus lays out the mission and the ministry that Jesus was all about. We need to understand the backstory before we can understand the story. You have to come to an understanding of first century Judea. There was nothing more hated by the people of Israel in Judea than the Roman tax. The Roman tax was a constant reminder that they, the Israelites, the Jews, the Hebrew people, they were a suppressed, oppressed people, oppressed by the Romans. That tax, though, bothered them particularly because in paying the tax, it bore the image of Emperor Caesar. And to the Romans, whoever the emperor is, and in this case, one of the Caesars, and there were many, is a deity. The Hebrew people, unlike the Romans, believed there was only one God, and he is not Caesar. But they were forced to at least obligingly acknowledge Caesar as a deity. Now, to make matters worse, the horribly dirty work of collecting the taxes was not given over to the Roman officials there in Judea. Instead, they learned to find within the masses of the Hebrew people collaborators. Collaborators. Every nation, no matter who overtakes them, has some within their midst to collaborate with the enemy. We saw that very clearly in France when Nazi Germany rolled in and they found friendship, not among a great number of the French, but of those who collaborated, they were dearly rewarded. So it was with the Romans and those collaborating Jews who collected the tax. Zacchaeus was one of those. Zacchaeus was told, like the others, every month, this is the tax you are to bring to us. The Romans would hand out a specific amount. So for the sake of you understanding where I'm going with this, they might say to Zacchaeus, every month you better bring us $1,000 in Roman tax. But there was also an unwritten understanding between the Roman locals and the collaborators. What you get beyond that $1,000 is yours to keep. The Hebrew people knew that too. And so they understood that many, many months after Zacchaeus and the other collaborators had turned in their $1,000, they had hundreds left for themselves. Collaborators were dearly rewarded. They lived in big houses. They ate the best foods. But they were hated by everybody. You see, the Roman soldiers hated them because they didn't have any respect for them. How dare they turn against their own country? The Israelites had no respect for them. Why? Well, that's most obvious. So though they had great wealth, that's all they had. And they were generally a miserable people. That's the person who's up the tree. Now, the scripture does not go into this part of the story. What I'm telling you now is a conjecture, but I think it may help explain why he climbed the tree. Zacchaeus had never met Jesus, but he clearly had heard of Jesus because he wanted to lay eye on him. And so what does he do? Does he go into the crowd and try to force his way through like hundreds were doing there? No, I suspect he knew the least safe place he could be would be in that crowd. Instead, in his loneliness, he found a tree and by himself climbed up in it. Jesus, walking along with that crowd, looks up and something wonderful happens. Jesus calls out to him. Not just, "Hey, you." Jesus looks into that tree and says, "Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. I'm eating fried chicken at your house tonight." Now, we all know it's endearing to hear someone call our name, usually. Over the loudspeaker at the high school? Not usually. But to be walking through a shopping area and someone says, "Hey, Joe, I kind of like that. Oh, look." Jesus knew his name. Jesus knows your name. Think about that for a moment. Jesus knows your name. Zacchaeus was up that tree because he was hiding. He was not the first in Scripture to hide. Most have. We know that in the very beginning of the very first book and the very first people, at some point in that garden, as they now had done what they were told not to do, Adam and Eve did what? They tried to hide from God. Elijah tried to hide in a cave. Zacchaeus hid up in a tree. We all know people who are trying to hide. What we may not put together is, it is my summation of it, that most often they are hiding from God. They may not say that. They probably don't know that. But it is still true. They're hiding from God. How do people hide today? They may do it in a bottle of booze, a bottle of pills. Sometimes our hiding happens with a time-consuming job. We hide by accumulating things. We hide by living in big fancy places or driving extra fancy cars, having an impressive bank account. But do you know where I think most of us do our hiding from God? And I suspect that most of us do hide every now and then. We hide from God in being busy. busy, busy, busy. Oh, I want to do that, but I'm just, well, you know. Maybe it's about time that the church stopped following protocol and broke etiquette. And instead of giving people room to get out there by themselves and stay out there by themselves, we began doing what Jesus did. We began entering into the spaces people have hidden themselves in. Maybe it's time we go there and call them by name. And ask them if they would like to sit down at a meal with us. It will not be a surprise to any one of us that none of us got to the places we are in life by ourselves. We all are standing on the shoulders of other people. What we may not think as consciously of is some of us are standing on a whole lot of very broad and strong shoulders. Some of us are standing on a whole lot of broken, wrong, dark shoulders. It is a wrong thing for us to assume that because we had a shot at life and we turned out okay, everybody else has pretty much got the same shot I had. There are those remarkable stories of people who were raised in homes and we scratch our heads. How did this person end up being so wonderful, such a bright light in this world, considering every witness in their lives was a bad witness? But there are not many of those. Most of you in this room who've done all right find greater favor in the same way I do. I stand on the shoulders of a lot of people who really cared for me. And I'm grateful for them. A couple of days ago, my mother passed away 22 years ago that day. I miss her every day. Lord have mercy, I miss her every day. But you better believe, though she's been gone more than 22 years, I'm still standing on those shoulders. But what about Mrs. Moore? Mrs. Moore, you ask. Who's that? Well, she was my first grade teacher. You should have known that. She's the one who taught me things about how words fit into sentence structure properly and how they don't. She's the one that taught me a little bit about math and a whole lot about the fact that almost all teachers are kind, good, caring, capable people. What about my pastor, Cecil Sherman? Cecil Sherman was perhaps one of the most brilliant men I shall ever know. An intellect that shadowed me when I was around him. In his teaching, he helped fashion an understanding of the world much larger than I probably would have had it not been for him. But I have it still today. Why? Because I'm still standing on his and Mrs. Moore's and Mama's shoulders. That's why. Along the way, there are some shoulders that I wish I had not chosen to stand upon. My buddy in high school who taught me to drink hard, too much, and led to my addiction. Not him. He didn't lead to it. I made the choice. But for every one set of shoulders like that, there are a dozen or more, like I've already mentioned. None of us got to where we are all by ourselves. Makes me wonder about Zacchaeus. What shoulders were put out there for him? What caused this Hebrew man to become a collaborator with the enemy and agree to take the tax from his people and give it to the enemy of his people? He didn't make that decision by himself. We don't know the backstory. We do know there is a backstory. Every time I think of the likes of Osama bin Laden or Adolf Hitler or people of that ilk, here in the last years of my life, I can't help but go back to a time when they were little babies, and times when they learned to toddle, and times when people looked and said, "Aren't they sweet?" Because people did say that about them. What happened? Well, unlike me, they made bad choices. I made good ones. There's a lot about that that's probably unlike you. We stand on a lot of shoulders, don't we? Ultimately, it comes down to the decisions we make. I'm not trying to negate any of that. I am saying we do not all come into this world, live in this world, and die in this world upon equally weighted shoulders. There are those, it seems to me, who had practically no chance at all at living meaningfully. So what do we do about that? Well, it's a really simple thing, and I'm almost finished. Best news you've heard yet this morning. The first thing we do is we remember. Something happened to Zacchaeus. We don't know all, but we surmise in our minds. But somewhere between the top of that tree and the seat at his dining room table, he was thoroughly, completely changed. This man who would blackmail his own nation, his own neighbors, yes, I suspect his own family. This man who stole from his fellow Jews came out of that encounter with Jesus and said, "If I have stolen from any of you, I'll pay you back four times as much." You see, the one thing he thought he wanted most of all, money, was the one thing he couldn't wait to get rid of. And the quicker we begin to let go of the things that we think we have to have most of all, the quicker we find the liberation Zacchaeus had. It will be different things for each of us. For some of us, it too will be money. For others of us, it will be our children. Yes, we all know children worshipers. For some of us, it will be our stuff, our home. For some of us, it will be our busyness. But if we can get to the place of surrender, then we can come to the table with Zacchaeus. I'd like to close with a very personal note. It's not true in all nations, but it's certainly true in our nation. that we expect our space and we expect it to be honored and protected. I'm glad Jesus called Zacchaeus down from the tree in Judea instead of Candler. You don't tell me what to do, and you sure don't invite yourself to my house for dinner. Can't you just hear that? It's not that you, me, we are an inhospitable people. We are not. We love and we care, but we have stopped remembering how exciting it was, just the possibility that Timmy could come over for dinner. And when we forget, i.e. when we no longer work to remember, then when we see new faces come into the room, we leave them alone because I'm sure they feel uncomfortable and they'd rather be left alone. And there's nothing further from the truth. So were we protecting Timmy or are we protecting ourselves? When we see that person standing at the end of the exit ramp, holding that sign, anything helps, God bless you. And we know they are here, 8 feet away, but we are here, intent on not making eye contact. I was talking with Terry Clark a couple of weeks ago. I said to Terry, you know, what do you hear from people standing into the ramp? He said, they just wish we would look at them and smile. We don't have to give them a dollar. But if we would acknowledge them, wave and smile, so that they become a little more human, like the person they see sitting in that car. But for me to do that, I'm going to have to remember the times I've been alone. I'm going to have to remember the times I've been without. I'm going to have to remember that there are people standing on my shoulders, watching what I'm going to do in the situation I'm in. And I dare not fail them, for the cost is too great. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, Heavenly Father, bless the hearers. Infiltrate them, O God. Even if they have not asked you in, tell them you're coming in. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.